Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit, and I love it. His return is imminent. He's going to evacuate his people soon, very soon, imminently, abruptly. And I thank him for his plan. But I thank him for honoring our prayers and deploying those who hear him. I was recently considering the people who were always reaching out to the Lord to learn, not for selfish motives, but because they love him and they want to make a difference. And many were discouraged by, get this, mainstream preachers and mainstream Christianity. A lot of people were hindered that really loved God by people who were in positions to make a difference. And I, you know, the Lord let me run into things as when I first started. And my life went kind of, it took a turn. But I, looking back on things, the way things happened, I can see the handiwork of God now. And My parents were preachers. My dad, loving pastor, he really loved the people. His heart was in the ministry, and he was faithful with the light that he had. Very faithful with the light that he had. He was a World War II soldier. He knew that if people didn't seek the Lord, he knew how bad it could be. Any soldier from World War II, they had a healthy respect for freedom. My dad was a boxer and he was a man's man. But in the pulpit, he was another man. He had an anointing. He took things very serious. On Saturdays, he would prepare messages. I couldn't read his writings, but he would prepare messages. That was good. And he would, I said, Dad, let's go fish. He said, I gotta do the Lord's work right now. I said, okay. And I went outside and played. I understood. I saw my mom share him with the Lord, and I learned to do the same thing. And she was a pastor's wife, and she loved him. She loved the ministry. She loved family. She loved me. She loved everybody, and they didn't gossip. And being raised by them was, it made me want to be married. Now that says a lot. And a lot of decisions that I would have made, I didn't, because I wanted to have a good marriage one day. Now, back to ministry. The things that I learned from them, watching them in life, throughout my life, it made me want to be a good man. But my dad preached out of town. He didn't preach in town. That added another dynamic to what I'm about to say. We lived in Birmingham, Alabama, and he pastored three churches in Utah, Alabama. And there was a shortage of Methodist pastors in those days. So he had one church, he preached at one church one Sunday and two churches that was further away from downtown Utah. Preached at two churches on the next Sunday. And he preached at St. Paul, that was in Utah, and a church called Mansion Way. I forgot the name of the other one. And they helped pay off three churches. I don't know which three, but it was three that they helped pay for under his leadership. And actually, my mother was the one that was good with money, she told me. And she taught me how to pay a house off early. And she was a school teacher, but she had a business mind. And she was good with numbers, and I mean, I had good parents, so I knew that I needed to do something with my life. And I started realizing everybody don't have good parents. But in the way I was raised and the way I thought, see, I grew up, my parents were older and more established. They had already been through the bumps. My mom was 40 years old when she had me, so they had some wisdom. And they moved to a new neighborhood. So in my world, things were pretty much wonderful. Needs were basically met. I grew up riding mini bikes and go-karts because my dad had worked at a plant and he pastored. My mom was a school teacher and she was a pastor's wife. And I saw them with all these roles and they were faithful. And I had a go-kart. I wanted to ride that go-kart. And my sister had compassion on me because she knew I really wanted to stay home and play and with my friends and ride the go-kart like we did the day before. And so she got in her car and went and she met my parents. She kind of outran them. She left right after they did because she caught up with them in the Woodlawn area, where I ended up moving later on in life. But nevertheless, before they got on the freeway, this was before the freeway was completed, so she met them up there on 10th Avenue by the Holiday Inn, where it is now. And she asked me, could I just stay with her the weekend, because she knew I wanted to ride to go call my friends and whatever. And they agreed. And she said, I promised to take her to church. Now, my sister had been divorced, and both of my older sisters had come back home. And I grew up with their sons. They were like my brothers. And this added another dynamic to my life. My sisters were older. They were grown when I was being raised, so I had good example from them as well. But the weekend that she got me and I stayed the weekend with her, I let a friend of mine ride my go-kart. He turned it over and broke the carburetor. So that's how I became a mechanic. I watched my dad's friend fix it. And my dad was a mechanic, but this was a small engine. He was good at the small engines. Phil Hatcher was. He fixed it and I watched what he did. So whenever it wouldn't crank, I would do what I saw him do. And I learned to get them running. And I would just work with it till I got it running. If anything I took apart, I could put it back together. I didn't really understand how it worked. But I did what I saw him do, and it got me started. I learned to put chains on. I learned to put brakes on. I learned to get it cranked when it wrong and wouldn't crank. And it amazed my friends that I could do that. I thought anybody could do it. Well, that's what happens when you have a gift. You know things that it's kind of like somebody that can play the piano first time they sit there. You know, it comes, that's a gift. This became very instrumental in my later years. And I often wondered, I used to wonder what would have happened if I had continued to go to Utah, Alabama with my dad from the time I was 10 years old. After 10 years old, I didn't go back. I stayed home every weekend. And it kind of gave my parents a break. So it kind of worked out for us all. But this is where I'm going with it. It changed the dynamic. If I had gone to church with my daddy, and let's say I got saved, I may have gotten saved earlier, I don't know. I went to church with my sisters, and Reverend Rice was the pastor. And I eventually got saved. I was 19. 10 years expired before I got saved. 9 or 10 years. I was almost 20 years old when I got saved. So 9, almost 10 years expired before I did get saved. With that being said, if I was still, and my dad was still preaching in Utah when I finally got saved, if I had gotten saved and then eventually called to the ministry, people would have, in the Methodist, you know, people treat the pastor's son different. If you have a well-known father that's in the ministry and now you're in the ministry, people will treat you, they'll treat you better. But I wanted to learn, I found out about the Holy Spirit. And in other broadcasts, I talk about Mom Powell. She was a lady that was full of the love of God, full of the wisdom of God and the Holy Spirit. And I wanted to have the kind of walk that she had. Now, Methodist people don't do that. They steer from the spiritual things. They stick to the basic teachings of Christ. And they skip around Acts and they touch on Revelation, but life in the Spirit, they don't delve into as much. The spiritual gifts, now they do bear the fruits of the Spirit. They have much love there. But in the seminary, they were taught differently. So people will say, well, why didn't you stay a Methodist? I said, well, this is the answer. I wanted to have the walk Mom Powell had. That's the short version. So I went to a Pentecostal church, but nobody knew my dad. And this put another dynamic on my life that I learned to appreciate later on. And I said earlier how a lot of things happen that shouldn't have happened. When you're seeking after the Lord and you're learning and growing, it can, you know, men don't like to see other men do what they can't do. Now this, I don't like saying this, but that's how it is. When you're anointed, you preach differently than when you're knowledgeable. When you're knowledgeable, you're banking on what you know. But when you're anointed, you're banking on what God knows. Now, look at the picture. At a younger age, I learned to live in God's presence. I got it from the Pentecostal church. In fact, I got it from my pastor, Elder Lewis and Greg Holzer. They were big on worship. Worship would take you to the Father's presence. And you learn to draw near to the Lord, and the Lord can anoint you. He can give you things. And I saw Elder Lewis receive a message from the Lord, and I expected to do the same thing. And it worked. So when I would preach somewhere, I go before the Lord, and he'd give me what to say, and it would trump everything. So nobody knew my father in the church assemblies that I was involved with. So they don't have to invite you back. But if I was with my father, the short version of what I'm saying is, I would not have found out the same way what I learned later on. Because I've seen other people that had their fathers were great in the ministry, and they didn't have the hard knocks I had. It was totally different. But the people were nevertheless the same. When I would preach, people could judge that what the Lord had given me was true. And I would always, always see him, look at the pastor to see if he approved. And there would be things that people could agree with, but you would not get invited back. Why am I saying this? This is the problem that I run into. And the Lord let me run right into it. The more I drew near to the Lord, the less people were receptive. Now, there were people who were very receptive, and then there were people who wanted more. And then there were people that would, after you get through preaching, they talk to you and they hold conversations. And then there were people who were jealous against you. And I, you know, eventually in your life, you're going to run into the same problems that Jesus ran into. When you go to your own hometown, when you go around the people you love, the people that you come from, the people of your community, they won't receive you. Isn't this Jesus, whose father was Joseph and Mary, and who grew up with his brothers, and they don't feel like they have to listen to somebody that was once a child in their eyes, even if it's the Son of God? See, the Lord don't have respect of person hang-ups like people do. He's looking at, these are my people and I love them. He sanctioned us with his blood. We're redeemed. He looks at every child of God as if they are Jesus Christ. Now, he knows that they're a person that got saved, but through the blood, they're the same. As he is, so are we in this world. We have the very same rights and privileges as Jesus did. We can do the exact same things that he did because he redeemed us back to the Father. We have a relationship. Your age is irrelevant. Your gender irrelevant. Will you believe him and follow through? Believing is the only thing that can make the difference. He said, Jesus himself said, he that believeth will do greater works than me. So that tells you that in him, if you can rely on the Lord, you can do anything. But see, some things you can't learn unless you run into it and face it. The same people that would have put a pastor's son on a pedestal would tear a man of God down that God did see. The people are no different. From one place to another, they're the same. It's how you're introduced. So I had to preach without an introduction. Most of the places that I preached at, nobody knew me. And I preached at Dad's church. He eventually retired and pastored a church in our old neighborhood. We moved there away from that, from Venice Springs when I was three. So he ended up pastoring that church until he couldn't go to church anymore. Health reasons. But nevertheless, I learned so much in the way that God led me. And what my sister did for me turned out to be a blessing in many ways. And